thank you so much for coming here. I have such an amazing guest with me today who's actually changing lives through technology. I'm truly inspired by his work, his mindset for life. He's an innovator and dedicated to bringing physical light and metaphysical light to dark public spaces. Kai is building solar-powered lighting and Wi-Fi stations in South African townships and a whole lot more. Thank you so much for being here today and congrats for the Yale Africa Startup Review Award that you had won and all the other millions of awards that you've won recently. How are you, man?
Hi, Prince Raf. So thank you, man. Awesome. Yeah, thank you for the great, for the bio. Yeah, just, man, I'm good, I'm well. I'm just an ordinary South African, just, you know, living life and just enjoying life. We are I'm in Durban on the East Coast, so right by the beach, and it's the most beautiful place in the world, I believe. Mm. Awesome, thanks, man. Thanks to be on your show, and thanks to your guests. Yeah, thanks for listening in.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I'm so honored to have you here because all the great things that I've seen that you've done and what you're doing for the communities out there in South Africa is absolutely amazing. And in the time that we are living at the moment, to be able to get your hands dirty and being out there for the people that need it the most, it's absolutely wonderful. Now, I want you to tell me, what is the Energy Efficiency Project? What prompted you to start this?
Yeah, so basically we are a green tech startup. So we're in the green space and we're a clean tech startup, basically. In other words, we design technology that actually can help improve people's lives, just ordinary people. So I started the startup in 2018 officially, but I'd done research for 4 years before that. So it all started in 2014, where I used to work in the green space for a private organization working mainly with government. I used to advise and work with about 24 municipalities, right? So there was a particular township where there was one of the friends of mine who was a deputy mayor. They asked me to go and have a look because there was a lot of death. Apparently there were 48 people that were murdered in a space of about 1 year. And the cause of death was actually because there's actually lack of public lighting in the public spaces. So people are living in fear, girls are getting raped, people were like not able to like walk at night and stuff, and kids weren't able to study at night. When I then did the research to find out if this was something that was isolated to this specific community or was it something that was happening in other communities, I discovered that it's actually quite common. Just to give you some numbers, in 2019, because I don't have the numbers for 2020, but in 2019, there were about 19,000 murders in Iraq where there's a war, right? In South Africa, there were over 20,000 murders. South Africa has gone from number 5 in the world as the country with the highest level of crime, number 5, now it's number 3. In 2019, there were over 40,000 reported rapes. Now, a lot of these go unreported. At the same time, a lot of people are unconnected. They don't have access to the internet, because when I was doing the research, I found out that a lot of people don't have access to connectivity. So in other words, when you look at the image of Africa at night from a satellite, it's dark. So my vision and my goal and my purpose is to bring physical light through the technology that we create, and also bring metaphoric light, which is light into the mind, which is access to information, education, and helping people to have access to intelligent systems that can help them to connect with the rest of the world.
Okay, so we're seeing big pushes for the global economies to strive for greener living by 2030. How does the EE Tech framework coincide with the 2030 sustainable developments?
So if you look at our social media platforms, etc., you know, whether it's Twitter, our handles, or Instagram, I actually recently changed the Instagram, but they all end with the number 2030, if you have not noticed.
Yes.
And the reason for that is because, for example, in Durban, where I'm from, as a province and as a city, we have provincial growth development plans and development goals. And we're part of the Paris Accord as well as a country since 2002. So our vision and goal is to have at least 40% reliance on fossil fuels to generate power by 2030. And by 2050, we want total carbon neutrality. In fact, right now, as we speak to this morning alone, we had a transition conference for the last 3 days, which I was actually speaking in. And I was actually communicating and basically dealing with delegates around the world from the United Nations. There were the Minister of Environment in South Africa. It was actually funded by the Flemish government, the Belgian government, the German Development Corporation, the German government, and various other stakeholders. So I was actually speaking on that for the last 2 days. And what we're trying to do is trying to link that with entrepreneurship. How do we get entrepreneurs to have access to technology and funding and mentoring and accelerating incubation to facilitate and fast track the process to mitigate and climate change, because we don't have a planet B.
Okay. All right. So at this current stage, because we're in the very early stages of the new decade, so people are like getting together and trying to understand of where they can move forward, so then they can meet those goals by 2030. That's correct.
Yes. I mean, when I first got introduced was in COP17. Which was in 2011. That's when I got introduced, where I met some activists from around the world. It took place here at the ICC, the Durban ICC International Convention Center. I believe that's the year that you were last in South Africa. So that's the first time I got introduced to like climate activism. I was introduced to 360.org in New York. Now they're all over there in Spain. So I got introduced to also the people living in the shacks that were struggling, that don't have access to clean electricity. You know, a lot of people are dying from like illegal electrical connections and those types of things. In last year, in 2019, in March, here in Durban, we had floodings that had never happened before, where people lost their lives in a township called Umlazi. There were mass floodings. We've had all this type of inclement weather that's been taking place, unexplained weather patterns. And so, yes, climate change is real. And I think the only way to fix it, or the only way to redress some of the negative causes to the environment, I think South Africa is one of the worst emitters of CO2, with our power utilities generating power using coal and burning it up, you know, in Mpumalanga and Welkom. So, yeah, so basically transitioning into a greener, safer and cleaner environment is definitely something that has to be at the core of what we do, not only as an organization, but as a people in general.
You're listening to CJLL 1690 AM in Montreal, and this is Know the Culture with Prince Rara.
You've been here 7 years longer than me. Don't you know you're supposed to be the man? I don't care. I always have to comfort you.
Yeah. And we're seeing in later times that Africa jumped the computer evolution, where all things skipped from PCs and the internet became readily available on mobile devices. In your experience, do you think South Africa and Africa is ready for that digital transformation?
Yes, it is ready. I mean, for instance, the projection now is that there'll be 20 billion handsets or devices on people by the year 2020. So I have to check if that prediction is still accurate. Television has moved away from analog to digital, so there's a migration, even though South Africa is a bit late by 5 years. Okay. We also had a conference earlier on this year with African Diaspora Network, which is an organization that I'm part of. It's based in Silicon Valley, but mainly working with South African governments. We had the Minister of ICT from Kenya, Joseph Mucharu, and also we had a Minister of ICT from Rwanda and various other countries. Mm. And the mandate right now is really to move towards digitalizing Africa. And that's at the core of what we're doing as energy efficiency. What we're trying to do is to build a smart village. So you know that you have like smart cities, right? China is big on that with Huawei, with 5G, et cetera. Mm. So what we're trying to do is basically create smart villages. So we can't be working in villages. And so we're doing a small part, but there's a bigger scheme because of things to do. Because, for instance, in Africa, there's 1.3 billion people in Africa, and 600 million people don't have access to electricity. And also half a billion people are unconnected to the internet. So I think those are some of the problems that can fast track, whether you believe it's called the third or the fourth industrial revolution is irrelevant, as long as there's basically a transition to help people get access to information.
Mm, and I think that's so key, especially in this day and age. And all I hope is for Africa to be able to, you know, be able to cope and be able to move in those same, like just as much as the other nations have moved on. All we could hope that Africa can move just as fast or just in the same direction as everywhere else, so we can all, you know, have a good balance. So I'm excited to see how things go on with that. Now, I just wanted to ask you just about the Hope Begins With You awards that were issued for the Marion Ridge community members in Durban. Tell me more about that, the Marion Ridge community, about how you were able to implement the solar panel lighting.
So the Marion Ridge is one of the communities in Durban, right? They classify it as a colored community, 97% colored people. And I'm totally like, you know, I'm Zulu. So, you know, I think it's just the thing, you know, the people divide people by, you know, it was a strategy by the apartheid government, but these are basically people that live here. And they have a lot of drug problems in the community. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. So it's like kind of like almost like the drug capital of the city of Durban, basically. It's a population of about 4,900 people. So it's about just under 5,000 people. So it's divided into two communities. So I went in there and my vision and my goal is to, because it's a small enough community, to kind of iterate and just work out a model that actually works. So that's one of the reasons why I chose that community. We are working in other communities as well. So we donated solar powered lights to a number of places there. For example, some of them donated them and designed and donated them into the school, secondary school, the primary school, private properties basically, but they illuminating public spaces. And also public parks, where there's actually like a lot of these places, there were like rapes, like at the school, for instance, there were like rapes taking place, murders outside the schools and things like that. Mm. And it was really dark. So now it's lighter. I actually had a phone call from the principal at the school, the high school, that just thanking me, and we're doing an interview with SABC in about a week or so, where the fact that now people are able to study at night, so the kids will go to school at night and whatnot, their school has jumped from 50% pass rate to 100% this year. First time in the history of the school. And it's a poor community and it's underfunded and there's not enough teachers. Mm. So, you know, technology can do a lot to change communities. There are also 300 shacks in that community where now we are deploying solar powered technology, which allows people to actually have access to green energy instead of using, so they don't have actually a formal electrical grid. So they're illegally connecting electricity into their sheds, to their houses. In that particular community, it started in 2017 that place broke out where they started that neighborhood, and there's already been 12 deaths in that community, 12 deaths. So we interviewed one person, for instance, where the child touched the house wire and was shocked and died, electrocuted. She touched the fridge, which was made of steel, and was shocked, and her husband actually died. So what our technology has is a local South African IP. It's totally clean. You can touch it. It doesn't shock you. It's a DC power system that's easily to connect. And what we are able to do with that system is also create mini grids. So those communities can have actually a mini grid of their own. So they're actually off the normal AC grid of the government. And they can also, put a cable from house to house and a meter so that the people can actually, what they can do is they can actually give each other power. So let's say you've got power and your neighbor doesn't, you can actually sell your neighbor power and they can electricity. So you're going to create these mini grids where people have excess energy. So this is 100% clean energy, harnessing the sun and wind to generate power for their little houses, for their shacks. You know, it's like these really small, I don't know if you guys have seen shacks in Australia or in Canada, but they're really small. So kind of like the favelas in Brazil. So I've been to Brazil, I've seen the favelas, very similar. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of those people, we're giving them independence, we're giving them access to renewable energy, and at the same time empowering them, they can create. So we're creating like social entrepreneurship programs where they can actually sell and make money on their own. And then last but not least, in our lights, we distribute the Wi-Fi through the lights, right? And then the people are able to connect to the internet through the lights. So when you drive into the community, it's a complete Wi-Fi hotspot zone. You are on the platform. It comes with an app called Google. And then this is a cherry on top. So a lot of people don't have access to data, right? And it's expensive. So We've actually partnered with a company which actually now we are able to give these people access to online content, the schools and educational content, the churches, all the community platforms, and movies, videos, audio and visual through the OTT platform. So they watch movies and TV stations without using any data. So completely data free and no buffering. So Basically, just with a simple internet connection, you're able to watch content like kind of like cable TV, but there's no data cost whatsoever. So basically you could be on the Zoom call with you now on that platform, but there'll be no data usage for the call. So it's totally off. It's totally 100% free.
Wow. Okay. Now South Africans would be busy with that.
We're just launching this.
Very expensive. Yeah. Like the data is very expensive, and it's so insane that we're so reliant on it, but it's cost. It's so many people can't reach it, or it's so costly, and we have to it doesn't make sense at how it's not something that is so accessible yet in 2021. I have to remember what the year was. It's so insane, but. Because I know that even just personally, I know that a lot of when I'm calling home to a lot of my cousins, they say, "Oh, don't be sending me that video. Don't talk too long because I don't have airtime."
Yeah. So we're actually making our own SIM card. So my company, we're having our own SIM card. So you can even back data. So you can actually like use. So we're currently launching that as in the next perhaps I think in June we're launching that. So we're launching our own SIM cards where you can actually because initially I didn't want to create a network. I wanted to partner with the networks and then they didn't want to partner with me. So a lot of these things that have happened with the startup of mine is that I never wanted to create these things. I just wanted to give the people access. And then the companies that have the power and the control and the technology were refusing. So I was forced to have to start my own. So we actually have our own cell phone tower.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's the thing, you know. Like you are right. I agree with you. Like, for example, 1 gig of data in Botswana cost you 15, like equivalent to like 15 rand. Okay. Like $3 or so. Yeah. 1 gig of data in South Africa is almost like $10. You know, it's expensive. It's a huge difference.
Wow. That's crazy. That's really, really, really crazy.
Thank you.
You're listening to CJLL 1690 AM in Montreal, and this is Nota Culture with Prince Ra-Ra.